science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes, indeed. Be careful what you wished for. That is going to be the theme of this show tonight. Please welcome my guest, David Childers. As I've always said, be careful what you wish for. David Childers is my guest for this evening. David Childers is an actor, he's a speaker, and also a photographer. He is also the co-founder of It's Haunted Network. He has been drawn to the world of the paranormal since a very young age, growing up in a family where on his maternal side seems to have shown certain gifts and abilities. Over the years, he has had the pleasure to investigate and film with so many of the top experts around the world and has been viewed on over 50 different platforms. He has been on a variety of shows, such as the Spooky Babes Paranormal Show with Stormy Daniels. He has also been on Ghost Hunters, Fright Club, Ghost Adventures, and also others such as Paranormal 911 and the Most Terrifying Places in America. David has also been featured on national and local Mississippi news channels such as WLBT, WJV, US Today, and of course CNN. Well, we have a lot to talk about this evening, so sit back, grab someone, grab some snacks, grab your favorite pet, because we're going to go on a little bit of a ride tonight. And, of course, we're going to have a little bit of a visitation while we're taping. Please welcome to the show my guest, David Childers.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Well, hello, David, and thank you so very much for being on the show today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, very happy to meet you and very happy to have you. Very impressive introduction there. David has been on quite a few shows and has done a lot of work in the paranormal field, and I thought he's just the ticket to get on the show, because if anyone knows anything about everything that goes on, I think he's the one we need to talk to here. So, well, David, we're going to get started because I know we're going to have a long session today, but we're going to have a good session today. And so, as usual, I always ask my guests to start out with their humble beginnings. And of course, I want you to just think back a little bit here to maybe one of the earliest ages that you had or were at, where you might have started to say to yourself, something's not quite right here. And that's when you're developing your sensitivities and all that. So when would you say that that occurred for you?
Well, it was like whenever I was 13. I lived in Vicksburg, Mississippi, old Civil War battle town. And the thing is with Vicksburg, my family, they lived on Civil War property too as well. Oh. So I was around 13, 12, 13, something like that. And I just got through watching Crocodile Dundee, right? So I was like, man, I'm going to be Crocodile Dundee, imagination going wild and stuff. So went outside. Well, I put my snakeskin boots on, went outside, and I created a Bowie knife out of wood. And my father was a carpenter. Well, not my father. I'm sorry. My grandfather was a carpenter.
Yeah.
And I created a Bowie knife, and I'm out there, and it's dusk, right? It's probably around 6, 7 o'clock at night. I'm out there being Crocodile Dundee, and I look over to the woodline, and I see this full body apparition of a Civil War soldier, full beard, everything, had Confederate uniform on. I run inside, and I tell my dad about it. My dad's like, that's your imagination, this and that. End up finding out that that whole property was haunted. I used to experience stuff whenever I'd try to go sleep in the bed. I'd wake up and I'd see like a light cut on or hear some crazy stuff. And I lived in the 2-bedroom trailer. It wasn't that trailer that was haunted. It was the property. And basically, I just doing my research over the years, you know, and I always loved horror movies. I always loved scary stories, you know, about ghosts and this and that. And I just started reading books. And it just went from there. And I think it was whenever I got in my 20s.
Yeah.
And whenever the ghost hunting thing came out on the internet, this and that, and I just started following it. We created my our first group, Ghost Hunters Extreme.
Yeah.
And it went from there. And of course, you know how paranormal groups, they eventually just fall off and end up going to a couple of more, created a couple of more over the years, and just went from there.
Interesting. I'm going to backtrack just with you for just a second here. And I want to go back to the point where you saw that Civil War soldier. Lately, what's really interesting to me lately is that I have been talking to more people who have had experiences. And when you saw this gentleman or this soldier, did you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, of course, did you say that he looked about as real as you and me just standing there?
Yep, 100% yeah. Real. It yeah. Wasn't see-through or anything. This looked like a dude standing there at the wood line.
Yeah, yeah. And I have heard more reports lately from people saying, I had talked with the gentleman on the show just a few before you, who actually, and I want to have talk to you about this a little bit and see if we can understand this a little bit. So he talked with an elderly man who approached him, actually. This is way up in when he was up in Utah or somewhere around there. And it might not have been Utah, it could have been the lower states. But anyway, for a half hour. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because my knowledge of ghosts in their appearance, and this one, did you study this Civil War man for any length of time and to determine how long he was actually looking in physical form? Because this guy I talked with, this guest I had, he had said he literally, it was like a half hour, and the guy was about as real as you and me. And then he discovered, after he mentioned it to somebody, that the guy had been dead for like, 8 to 10 years. And so with all your investigation and stuff, let's start with the guy, the Civil War guy. Did you just see him and go, wow, and then just kind of bolt out of there? Or did you sit and watch him for a while?
No, I did that. I saw it and I was like, oh my God, what the hell? Not bolted.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
My whole butt inside. And yeah, back then, I wouldn't have even sit here and thought about it. It was like, there's this dude on our property, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Now, over, you know, being in the paranormal field for 20 some odd years, yeah, right. I'm going to sit here and try to analyze and try to figure out exactly how this manifestation is going.
Yeah.
How long will this manifestation going to last? Because that's something that we all try to figure out, because a lot of times we see them, they're gone. Or right. We see a shadow person, which is another, my opinion, is another certain level of manifestation. Me, I think it's a stronger level because we see them more than anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, full body apparitions or half body apparitions that we could see through. Yep. So, but yeah, then no, I was like, nope, I'm gone. There's this dude on the property and he's wearing a Civil War uniform. I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when he brought that up and said a half hour, I thought, nah, there's no way. No one can hold their energy that long. I just was sitting here going, but he is very adamant to this day. He swears it was a good half hour. And then when he found out that the gentleman had passed for 8 to 10 years, he was just absolutely, and still is to this day, he's very dumbfounded about that. Now, let's talk a little bit about as things progressed forward. Okay, so you had this interest, and of course, you live on a very haunted property where a lot of this activity took place. Do you remember, even back in those younger years, anything where anyone had come, let's see, did you mention that things had happened inside your house?
Yeah. There was one experience that I had. I was laying in the bed, and not a lot of people know about it because, I'm sitting here thinking I could have been dreaming, but no, I do remember this.
Yeah.
Actually, two experiences that was real crazy. I was laying in my bed, and like two-bedroom trailer, I look out my door to my room, and all I saw was like half of the fish tank, and right beside it was a nightstand. Well, I'm laying in the bed. It's like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I just wake up, and I just look over, and the light cuts on, and hold on one sec. And oh yeah, by the way, my place is extremely haunted too as well. So if I hear something, look away, just don't pay attention to it. But I look over and I see this shadow. It was so crazy. It was like, all right, the devil's tail, it's long and it has a little point at the end, arrow. Yeah. That's what I saw in the shadow when the light cut off. I'm getting chill bumps even. I mean, that's whenever I was young and I saw it. I'm like, no, I really started freaking out about that. Never could understand what that was about. But I had a dream that night of this character. It was like a fox with a devil's tail. There it is again.
It's David, I'm going to interrupt you just for one second here. Yeah. This, to our listeners and to our viewers, this is a very common experience that I also go through with my guests. And right now I'm completely chilled to the point where I feel these, I call it tingles, tingling all the way up and down my entire body. And when I have guests on the show that either live in a haunted place or they also attract hauntings to them. And when I have people on the show, this is exactly what you're experiencing with us right now as a quote unquote live view. So David, don't worry about it. I just invite your guest over or whatever and have them sit down with you. But I we'll talk about that too in just a moment. But let's get back to what we were talking about. So my question about that tail that you're talking about, was it swinging or was it just kind of hanging there?
No, it just went up like this.
Interesting.
And then the light cut off.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, no. And I was freaked out. I stayed awake the whole night, head up under the cover.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had a dream about this fox. It was a character, like, I don't know, sort of like cartoon in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the name of it was Dixie Devil, and it had the devil tail. Okay. The next day, my dad went to work, and I'm sitting here, and I'm just being nosy. I mean, I'm at that trailer by myself. I'm bored. So I'm looking around stuff. And I just happened to go by the refrigerator, and I saw a whole bunch of the koozies up there, for drinks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw one, and I just reached out and I grabbed it, and what it said on it was Dixie Devil. And I was like, nope, okay, coincidence or what, but that's just, totally screwed my mind up,
Yeah.
And, but that was just a couple of experiences I have there, over the years, a lot of stuff being moved around, weird light anomalies. And that's what really pushed me big time in the paranormal field. Now, other places I've been to, of course, they've been haunted as well. Like my father's property, he moved out to Bovina, Mississippi, which is probably about 6 miles from Vicksburg. It's still considered Warren County, but it was close to the Big Black River. And the Big Black River is where they had Civil War battles too as well. Actually, one of the bridges there, it was like 50 to 60 Confederate soldiers had to jump off because they caught the bridge on fire. Mm-hmm. Well, ended up that house, I guess it was the haunting that followed us from there, or maybe it could be the property. I don't know. But this is whenever my dad didn't believe in it. Mm-hmm. And he started believing in it whenever we moved into this other house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had the doorbell go off multiple times by itself. And actually, doorbell got stuck one time because something, we're in the middle of nowhere. And we're hearing a buzzing, opened up the door, doorbell stuck, water faucet on the outside, cuts on and off. And just weird stuff that happened. Cabinet doors opening, closing. We'd hear them, pow, bang, and all that. But, you know, I don't know. I have no idea if it was something that could have followed me from there, but I really think that that was on that property, because I've had a couple of attachments, and one of them was really nasty. Actually, we were talking about Zach earlier, and I filmed with Zach on a couple of episodes, and one of them was the attachment that followed me. Actually, my story on Haunted Hospitals, Season 2, Episode 13. That's that story. So I think it was something on that property. It just so happened I end up falling into these haunted locations. Now, the one I'm at now, that's my fault. Well, I don't know if it's my fault, but I have a whole bunch of objects that have some energy attached to them. But it just so happened last week, my landlord was telling me, he was like, oh, yeah, I didn't tell you that right there, about 50 yards away, there was a lot of Indians that were, a lot of Indians and a lot of settlers that died back there. Oh, thanks for telling me. So maybe it's not that, maybe it this property. So
one of the things too, David, and I think you probably can obviously relate to this, is that I just wrote an article and it's in Paranormal I don't know if I can say that magazine, and I've got another one coming out in another magazine, but I asked myself the question in this article, am I a neurodivergent beacon, which is basically a light beam? And so I have for the last I'm a little bit older than you, but I started recently trying to look back and connect the dots about when this all kind of began, and what kinds of things I recall, at least noticing along the way. And so I am going to really toss a quarter into the air here and know that you are definitely a neurodivergent beacon, which is somebody that simply attracts a lot of paranormal activity, or they see you and you're a bright shining star, and so they want to come talk to you, or they want to. But then when we get these attachments, and I was talking to, I had Sam Beltrusis on the show recently, and we had a long discussion before and after the show was over about what the heck was going on with me and all this sort of thing. And so sometimes we're born with this stuff. So I want to back up again with you. Because I'm trying to put your puzzle pieces together, and I think I'm getting close. So do you recall when you were growing up, anyone in your family that may have had any kind of the abilities, first of all, we'll start with that. Do you recall anyone ever talking about having abilities?
Yeah, absolutely. My mother's side of the family.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because, that's exactly the side. I don't know. It can happen on the father's side, but it was on the mother's side for me too. Okay. Interestingly enough. And what kind of abilities did they ever talk to you about? Did they ever discuss this with you?
Well, not really until I've gotten older and I was in the field and this and that. And I actually I don't make it public, but over the years, I've acquired abilities.
Yeah.
I've always had some, but they've gotten stronger ever since.
I was just going to say, have they gotten stronger by chance?
Yeah, ever since I moved up to New Hampshire, and I went through like a somewhat traumatizing experience.
Right.
They just blew up.
Right.
And that's why, you know, with Sam, it's funny you mentioned Sam. I love Sam to death. And we've talked about stuff like this before with attachments, like he's talked with Salem, and I've talked about, you know, with the hospital and this and that. And we basically almost had the same experiences.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You know, trauma, I wrote about trauma because for myself, I don't know if I can talk about others, but one of the things that I wrote about in my article, which again is in that magazine, and it's three-page article about this, and I talked about trauma. You can go back literally 6 to 7 generations within your family line, and that's a lot of people. and acquire along the way some kind of a gene or genetics along the way that reach you. So for example, if you had children, for example, and they were so inclined to grab a gene out of you that somehow still had these kind of abilities. Trauma, in my opinion, is a factor of part of the reason why we might be as sensitive as we are, but not necessarily us experiencing it ourselves all the time, but somebody else has experienced it. And it just, so like when you saw that Civil War gentleman standing at the tree line, he may not have known, he might have been residual, but yet a really good example of someone that looked like a human that was residual. And it's hard to say if he was showing for you because he figured you were ready to maybe see this, or if he was just showing in general and it was just an accident that you saw this, right? So, yes, and a lot of the trauma that we experience, because I've been also evolving, and into the point now where I'm questioning whether some of this stuff is extraterrestrial, because I've had some of those experiences too. So let's jump to that for a second. Have you, to the best of your knowledge anyway, or do you feel like you've ever had any kind of an extraterrestrial visitation or experience?
Maybe one time whenever I was young, probably around 17, mm-hmm. me and my cousin, well, I'll go ahead and put it out there. I don't hide anything, but me and my cousins went to a strip club. We were on the way back.
Yeah.
And I remember it was his old Chevrolet Cavalier Z24.
Yeah.
It was. And we were on the way back. We were on I-20 heading from Jackson, Mississippi to Vicksburg.
Yeah.
And we just happened to look over at the same time, and we saw this big, this green light just covered the sky. I mean, it was probably at the top of the trees.
Yeah.
And then it just disappeared. Mm-hmm. Now, that was an iffy. Okay. But there was one time that me and one of my ex-girlfriends and one of her friends, we were in a Nissan Maxima, mm-hmm. and we hit Clinton, Mississippi, mm-hmm. heading to Vicksburg, about to go up under the overpass, and everything just went white. Mm-hmm. It was like somebody got a piece of paper and just put it over your face. Mm-hmm. Everything just went white for like half a second and then came back.
Interesting.
She pulled off the exit. Pulled mm-hmm. into a gas station. Mm-hmm. She turned the car off. She looked at her friend, then looked at me. It was like, did y'all see that? I was like, oh my God, everything went white. She was like, yes, everything went white. So I don't know. I have no idea. It was so crazy. And looking at the time too, you know, because I was into the paranormal then.
Right.
And I looked at the time and it was like 2 minutes missing from what we first had whenever I first looked at it. So I don't know.
Well, the one thing that I can tell you is that I was going to ask you about missing time. If doesn't even matter if it's the slightest, missing time is missing time. And I have talked with an individual on the show here that has actually been beamed, and you were probably beamed. You know, your vehicle could have been completely beamed at that moment. That's what you saw with that white kind of thing, you know, everything going white. And then all of a sudden, once you pulled over and everything, then realized that there was a little bit more to this than just having a flash, you know. Was this in the evening or was this during the daytime?
I was around in between 1:30, I think, and 2:30, something like that. It was, yeah, in between that time. Sorry about the background, too. I have there's a cuckoo clock that goes off every hour, and
it's okay. let it go off. We, you know, as it people might think this is intermission, you know. So no, it's fine. I was just wondering, was that in the afternoon or was that in the mid morning?
Yeah, it was in between 1:30, 2:30. That's whenever it happened.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, if we saw this thing, mm-hmm. all the, you know, 60, 70 people that were on the interstate in that area passing by, I don't see why they wouldn't have seen it.
Well, the other thing too is that sometimes people don't see this stuff. And so, you know, it's interesting how we get into situations where, and I've asked people, especially with UFOs and crafts, Sometimes you can see them visually with your eye. Sometimes you have to see them through military goggles, you know, and they show up better that way. It just all depends. And a lot of times, and I've talked to a couple people that have seen the beam, who have been in the beam, and have people who have had missing time. And so it doesn't surprise me, but I was wondering, after that point, when that happened to you, do you recall at all your abilities getting stronger or more weird or anything? Or was that something you didn't really notice after that occurrence happened?
Yeah, I didn't really notice it. I mean, I just didn't pay attention to it. I thought it was a weird experience. Now, it was a few weeks ago, we investigated America's Stonehenge here in Salem, Salem, New Hampshire. Investigated with, it was Haley Ramsey. She's an author, and also Scott Walter. He's the host of American Unearthed. And they talk about UFOs on Travel Channel. They talk about UFOs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just so happened, whenever we were out there, because this place right here, nobody knows who built it. Nobody knows. There's no documentation about it. It's been around for, oh my gosh, years. Well, we were out there investigating, and Don's going to kill me. He's over the USS Salem, DeChristofano. Don, I'm sorry I butchered the name, brother. I always apologize. But he actually pulled out dowsing rods.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not real big into dowsing rods. I'm really not. But, man, it was head on, you know. We weren't getting anything on the other equipment, but that right there, dowsing rod steadily going off, ended up bringing up alien life forms, this and that. And just so happened, Scott and Haley looked over, and about halfway tree level, they saw a burst of energy, like a light anomaly came out of the blue, and they were like, oh my God, did y'all see that? And we didn't see it. But as soon as Don's dowsing rods confirmed it was alien.
Yeah,
they saw that burst of light. And they saw it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And it got sort of weird the rest of the night. And I started getting more visions. My visions started heightening, started getting, you know, just more visible, put it that way. And I was seeing, you know, basically what happened to this young woman being pushed up against a stone. They were fighting over food, this and that. A child ended up walking down the steps and falling during this activity, this and that. And I'm sitting here, you know, channeling and putting all this stuff out. Next thing you know, dowsing rods are going crazy, confirming it. And I'm not the only one there. There was a couple of people that were just paid customers.
Mm-hmm.
And they started telling me the color of the clothing, this and that. So they've never had it happen before, but they were validating what I was saying and what I saw. Mm-hmm. So, hey, you never know. I mean,
at what point did your abilities start to really get strengthened, or did you go to anyone to develop them further?
They started, probably 3 years ago.
Okay.
Because I always told myself, I'm science. I do scientific. I use equipment. That's it. I'm not using anything else. And finally, I just stepped in and said, you know what? If I'm crazy, I'm crazy. You know, I'm just going to put it out there. And I mean, if I can get somebody to validate it, okay, it make me feel better about myself. And I started doing it. I just put my big boy pants on and just start spitting it out. Hey, if I get ridiculed, I get ridiculed. I don't care. You know, it's just stuff that it's what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And I feel spirit around me. I feel connection. Mm-hmm. And I just started doing it. And then I went through this one event while I was up here, and then everything just spiked up. I started talking to my friend, Charlotte Underwood. She's a medium, psychic medium over there in the UK, one of my, you know, real good friends. And she started explaining stuff to me. I was like, all right, okay, that makes sense. The hell with it. I don't care about getting ridiculed. I'm just go with it. Mm-hmm. We got paranormal equipment to validate it. If it's not true, hey, it's not true. It's my imagination, and I'll take it, you know.
Well, you know, the one thing, was this after you went through some traumatic experiences again prior to, and then all of a sudden you noticed things were, when we go through trauma, by the way, and when I'm talking like severe trauma, what happens is the brain gets rewired. And because it says, oh, because it understands the I don't know how to describe it, but it's like if it gets into too much fear, it goes, oh my God, I recognize that fear, my God. And then what it does is it somehow closes off, and then it rewires itself to a different kind of response. And that's the one thing I talked about too in that article, was that the rewiring of our brain at post-trauma and why it's doing that. Now, I don't know why it does that, except it's going somewhere else. But I would suspect that since you've got this in your family line, I would almost guarantee there was trauma that happened back in your generations in that line in some way that you may or may not be aware of. You acquired something, and then all of a sudden something happened, and then all of a sudden it ripped something open, and then it repatched itself, then it rewired itself, and now you're stronger because of it, and now you've got like the floodgate open. And not only that, the more investigating I did in when I got really enthusiastic about investigating years ago, all of a sudden I started having more experiences. And so now I really can't shut it off. I know that wherever I go, if there's something there, it's gonna let me know in some way that something is there by the time I'm done with that place. And I would imagine you're in the same boat. Now, here's my question to you. When you light up like a Christmas tree, sometimes have you ever noticed that you might be in the company of other people that are either as sensitive as you are, and it's almost like a battery that when you all get together, you just kind of light up even more so, and your abilities are just really a lot stronger? Have you gone through that at all?
This actually happened. This happened last weekend yeah, at Mass Paracon,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, Sam Batrusis puts on.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happened, we went to one of the rooms. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just there just to have fun and watch everybody else have a good time. I wasn't worried about it. I mean,
yeah.
But we ended up getting put in with Richard E. Stepp's team.
Yeah.
And we ended up going to the room. As soon as I walked into the room, I was like, it just hit me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to sit back and watch everybody have a good time.
Yeah.
And it just hit me. And then Richard was like, I want to try an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, who here has, you know, feels like they have abilities? And usually I keep quiet. Right. I keep mm-hmm. quiet. But I raised my hand. This other woman, that one of Sam's friends, raised her hand. He sent me and her out.
Okay.
And there was another person in the room, Alora, which is with Deja Vu Paranormal. She says she does not have any abilities at all. Just so happened, he asked everybody around the room, and Alora took control, and so did Madison, MK. She's with Deja Vu as well.
Yeah.
They just started spitting all this stuff that they were feeling in that room. We can't, me and the other woman cannot hear anything going on. As soon as I walked out that door, I wanted to make sure everything, it was no contamination. As soon as I walked out the door, I looked at her and I said, I'm blocked. I can't say anything. I can't do anything, which I could. I was already picking up on everything.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how this experiment would work out.
Yeah.
He invites me back in.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I walk in, bam, it just hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right in front of the fireplace. I'm pacing back and forth. And spitting off everything about a woman with a white dress on, lace dress. She's upset. She's on her knees in front of the fireplace. The fiance or boyfriend just threw something in the fire. He went out. He slams the door. I'm going through all of this. And, I look over at Richard. I was like, that's it. That's all I got, man. That's it. Next thing you know, he reads off what Alora and Madison saying before I came in, the exact same things with the dress, this and that, her something being thrown in the fire. They had no idea. We had no idea. All right. So invites the other woman come in. As soon as she comes in, she's picking up on the mail.
Yeah.
But in the mail, she's seeing through the male's eyes, she's saying the same thing. The woman upset, he throws something in the fire, he goes slam the door. So all of this is validation.
Yeah.
None of us have talked. None of us know anything about it. So we picked up on all of this at the same time. And it was like just energized in there. I mean, whenever I just felt the energy whenever I came in there, and it was like that, here it comes.
Yeah.
It was about to break loose. And he had everything written down, and it ended up coming out to be the same thing. And just so happened, I reached out to him a couple of days after that. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I was like, did anybody else pick up on from the other teams? Cause he stayed in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know what? Patty ended up picking up on close to the same thing y'all picked up. Mm-hmm. I was like, really? Okay. I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like just a big energy, you know, it just, and you feel it whenever it hits too. And whenever it hits, it's hard for you to stop.
Right.
You just want to go ahead and just spit everything out. You know, you want to sit here and lay back and sort of take the low road and not say anything, but you can't help it. Do you
see things in pictures and flashes?
Pictures, subtitles going across the across my eyes, visions, video, all of it.
Interesting.
Feelings. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on the situation, though. You know, like I said, I don't want to go into these places. I just feel compelled to.
Yeah.
Whenever it hits me, I feel compelled to.
Yeah.
So it's that interesting.
Yeah. It's like me in Las Vegas. I don't know. I can't explain it, but I'm always drawn back there, and it's not always because of the gambling. Although I have to say that has paid off a few times for me. No, there's just something that makes you're drawn back to a place, but you can't always explain what that energy is or why that energy or whatever it is drawing you back there. And I bet there's a lot of people watching and listening to us right now that can probably say about the same thing. They don't often wonder why they're so drawn to going to a certain location, but then, and they probably will never ever be able to figure it out. They just know that they need to go back there or whatever. So I find that to be interesting. I also know that when you create a human battery, I know for myself, it sounds very similar to what you're going through. Things really start to go into motion for me. And yeah, whether you want it or not, it goes into motion for you. So this isn't something we can always turn off. Now, I want to bring up attachments here for a second, because I don't know how people can tell this. I think it's remarkable. I guess I had 16 on me at one time. And then when they were taken off in the middle of the night, something really weird happened to me that would freak the average person out. But anyway, I guess they came out of me in that way. I don't know, but how can you tell for yourself? Because I can't. If someone says, oh, there's someone clinging to you right now, it's like, oh, I don't feel anything. I don't know how people have this gift. Do you know anything more about attachments than the fact that people say, oh, you got a couple attachments on you?
Man, I can tell you right now, with mine, I cannot tell. I cannot tell if I have an attachment or not. I mean, because some of the attachments, I mean, all right, say, because I've only had two that I know of, mm-hmm. I really can't. I would say that with one of the real bad one I have,
yeah.
I didn't realize that I had no idea, and I was going on a downward spiral.
Okay.
My friends and family could see that there was something wrong. There was something going on, but I had no idea. I thought everything was just perfect. Everything was fine. Yeah. You know, that's like with the hospital. I was obsessed with that hospital, but there was a reason I was obsessed with that hospital, and something kept on drawing me back there.
Right.
And that's what it was. It was that non-human entity that was sitting here that just kept on pulling me back and making me think that everything's fine, just where it could feed off either my energy or make me another soul collected at the hospital. So, I mean, attachments, I really don't think that because they could come on light and then they come on real strong. It's going to take somebody to tell you something's going on with you. You need to sort of, you know, pump your brakes a little bit and chill out. You know, that's just my opinion on it, because it happened to me.
Yeah, and a lot of people too. Sometimes you don't recognize this fast enough. Like when people say, oh, I feel depressed today, they they may be depressed. I mean, they may have some kind of an imbalance going on inside of them that makes them feel depressed. But there are times too, and I can attest to this, when I go to Las Vegas a lot of times, sometimes by myself, to write, because I'm a writer now. I write about my experiences there. I have the best luck when I go there, just to be able to focus. And there was a time when I was in one of these rooms that all of a sudden things were happening in that room, and I was getting more depressed. I was going down. My depression was just getting really, really super bad. And I turned around, and then I noticed, and this isn't because of any vibration or anything like this, my dresser drawer had come out, and it hadn't come out before then or anything like that. But I have a quirk where somehow when I get into a certain state of being, things start to happen around me, like dresser drawers come out or this. And then I had this something whispering in my ear, you know, that it's kind of something to the effect of it wanted me to hurt myself. And I knew right then and there that there was something in that room that I wasn't aware of, that I had to get the heck out of that room. So I did. I left and I went down into the casino a while. And of course, when I went to bed that night and the next day when I woke up, of course, the dresser drawer was halfway out during the middle of the night. But it's weird when you talk about that. I guess I was going to ask you, do you find that your abilities are stronger when you're more in a depressed state of being or in a more happy, energetic state of being? That's my question to you.
Yeah, I mean, the abilities would be, with me, happier state. And the thing is, whenever, if you get into that depressed state, that's whenever you're at sort of at your lowest, and they can sit here and, you know, sort of munch on you or whatever, just pick at you, and they can get you, and they can take you down to that lower level and get you more and more. And I'm sorry, backtrack a little bit. You were talking about something whispering in your ear. It really wasn't anything whispering in your ear, was it? It was sort of, was it like a thought, but yet not a thought?
You're asking me what I was hearing?
It was
like a thought. It was like a thought.
It's hard to explain. Because that happened to me whenever I was on top of that hospital.
Yeah.
It wasn't voices. No. But it was a thought, but yet it wasn't really my thought. It was like it was something was telling you, hey, do this, do this. Like, you know, it told me, go up to the third floor. I'm like, okay. Hey. But it wasn't a voice. It wasn't voices. And it wasn't like the call of the void. But it's hard.
So when I gamble, and I like to gamble, I wouldn't like to call myself a diehard. Anyone who knows me pretty well now hears this all the time. I have won 18 IRS jackpots in the last 4 years out of 22 visits. And of course, there are times when I do lose, and I, you know, kick myself in the booty for losing. But for the most part, I'm walking out with an IRS slip where I have to pay the government. And so people have always asked me this question, how do you do it? And I said, I don't know. I walk into a casino and I say to myself is, direct me. That's what I just say. I say out loud, direct me. My husband can attest to this. He's actually followed me like a zombie walking through a casino, going left and right and all that. So I hear thoughts in my head and they say, go forward. Okay, I'll go forward. Turn left. Turn left. Okay, sit down. And then I look at the machine and I go, ugh, I don't like to play this machine. How boring. Yuck. I don't want to be on this machine. Well, of course, either it wins with someone else sitting there or I win on it. And so it was interesting a couple of years ago at one of these casinos, too. They had just brought in a new machine and it hadn't won anything for anybody. And of course, what happens to me? I sit at it. It says, oh, sit down. I'm really tired. Okay. And I bet a big amount, but the thing is, it was just kind of like an amount. And I won a jackpot on it. And the manager came up to me and he said, how did you do it? because this machine hasn't won yet. We thought it was like there was a it was not working properly. I said, "Oh no, it's winning." And he goes, "Are you a?" It was on a horse machine. And I said, "Are you a horse better?" And I lied. I mean, I don't do much horse racing, but I have predicted the Kentucky Derby races in the last 3 years, and with the winner. And what I see is the color of their blanket on their backs. And last year, I almost got that one. I should say 2.5. There was the same color on the back of the horse, and I picked the wrong horse of the two, but it was the color of the blanket. But and same with sports plays, like something, it's not someone whispering in your ear. It's like a thought that you're thinking, it's your own intuition or something. And I can literally tell you when I'm in a really low state of being, I can tell you exactly what the baseball player is going to do, where he's going to hit the ball, if he's going to strike out, do this, that, or whatever, and what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And 9 out of 10 times, I'm right on the money. So when you have these thoughts, let's move this to some of your experiences, because it sounds to me like you've had some of these experiences. Now, you've been on many shows. And so are there any shows you can talk about, or any situations you can talk about where you had a real, maybe we could start with a traumatic experience, because people like to hear the worst before they hear the best one. But have you ever had a traumatic experience? Explain to people, David, what you do and who you are. You're an actor and you've been on many shows, but tell us a little bit more about that, and then lead us into a situation that you can talk about.
Well, I mean, basically over the years I've been on, you know, just like B movies and stuff like that. And my main thing is the passion in the paranormal field. Yep. And being on these shows, I've been blessed.
Yeah,
to be pulled into it where I'm able to tell my stories of some of my experiences in the past. Yeah. And let, you know, maybe the weekend warriors out there that haven't been able to get into the field or investigate with an investigator or a team or psychic mediums or whatever, people in the field. Yeah. I want them to know exactly it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Don't jump out there and be a weekend warrior like we've all done in the past, us. Yeah. Old school. We jumped out there and did it. But it, yeah, it definitely can be dangerous. That's the only reason that I do like to get on and tell my stories on these television shows. It's just to make people aware, hey, look, get with a credible paranormal team or somebody, do your research and go with them first and learn and experience and go from there. Don't jump into it. But that would lead to one of my experiences. It was real traumatic with the Kuhne Hospital situation. I was still at that mindset of, hey, nothing bothered me, I'm fine. I mean, you know, I'm go ahead and go, I'm talk to ghosts, blah, 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 this and that.
Right.
And I ended up getting this hospital as a caretaker. And long story short, I know we're running out of time, so I'm go ahead and spit it out. It got down to where I was obsessed with it. And my friend's family started seeing everything take a toll on me. There was a non-human entity there, mm-hmm, he called himself Michael. And I just fell into the trap. It came down to it. I lived a block away in a old 1860 house that had activity already, but it ended up following me to that house. It got so bad at this hospital, I spent so much time up there that I would sit on the roof and drink beer and barbecue. Just me by myself while my wife's like right there. I'm sitting here looking at the house. And it came down to it where it just really affected friends, family, all that stuff. I was so obsessed with that hospital. I was up there all the time. I would walk through that hospital.
Yep.
And it's this bad neighborhood at freaking 2 o'clock in the morning by myself. Who does that? Yeah. I mean, it was insane. Well, it came down to it. We were about to go through a divorce, this and that. I lost a lot of friends, family. And I went up there one day. It was during the daytime. It was around noon. And I had a six pack of Blue Moon. Who drinks Blue Moon? It's freaking disgusting. But I had it, and I sat down on the lower level. Mm-hmm. And I had a baby blanket on me, and I was crying. I still don't know how the hell I got the baby blanket. I don't know where that came from. But I was sitting there, and next thing you know, everything got silent.
Mm-hmm.
It was like somebody put earmuffs on me. I could still hear the birds. Yeah. I could still hear everything, but everything just got silent, and I felt real calm.
Yeah.
That's whenever I'm going back to not a voice in my head, but something up there said, go to the third floor.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel better. I'm not upset. I'm not crying. Everything's at ease. I'll go to the third floor, you know. So I go walking up there. Now I get to the third floor and I walk over there close to the edge. And I step up on the edge. I'm sorry if I get choked up about it. It's still okay. With me.
Sorry.
I stepped up on the edge and I looked down.
Yeah.
And this, not voice, but this thought in my head said, go ahead, end it.
Yeah.
Pain, jump.
Yeah.
Said it twice. And I look over and I can see my truck below me, three stories up. I step back, I snap out of it. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
I haul ass out of there and I leave. I get my truck and I don't go back to that hospital until whenever Zach and them contacted me, wanted me to go up there. And I told them straight out, no. Yeah, I'll go up there during the daytime and I'll tell you my experiences, but that's it.
Okay.
And while we were there, it's on the episode, me and Zach. Zach's looking at me and was like, is it a non-human spirit or a human spirit? And I said, it's a non-human spirit, and his name is Michael. He calls himself Michael. Right after that happened, one of the doors on the second floor, boom, slammed shut. Both of us, me and Zach look at the same time. We go hauling ass up there. None of the doors are shut.
Yeah.
So, and then thank God they ended up, I'm so happy they ended up tearing that place down. They finally tore it down. Of course, the property, I'm sure, is haunted because it's pre-Civil War, hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But the building is down.
Yeah.
Bad stuff that happened after that, that'd be something later on I could talk about a murder and all that happened, finding the body, blah, blah, blah. It was a messed up situation. The whole story's on Season 2, Haunted Hospitals, Episode 13, called Obsession on Travel Channel.
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, it messed up. That's the worst that's ever happened to me. And that right there made me want to sit here and pump my brakes and step back and, you know, hey, look, this ain't no joke, man. You don't play around with this.
We all have, especially those of us who have become enthusiastic about this field, we all have that, I believe, at some point, that holy bejesus moment where I had a traumatic experience in Europe in a hotel that was so traumatic that, and people have heard me talk about it all the time, but it was so traumatic that I swore off ghosts for 3 years. It was that bad. I said, okay, I had my fill. I understand now that there's stuff out there. I understand that there's good and there's bad energies and that not everything that I am going to ever come into is going to be a good energy. And most of mine, I have to say though, knock on wood, they haven't hurt me per se. I mean, I have been choked. I've been put in trances. I've been kicked up into the air. Either that or thrown down from the air. I've been in a lot of situations. That's why I was able to write so many books about my experiences. But you just bring up the one thing that I can jump with you too. Once you have that bejesus moment, or once you have that attachment or whatever it is that wants to latch on and have you do something to yourself that you would never rationally really consider anyway, that's when you have to start to wonder if you've gotten into this a little bit too much. Now, keep in mind that there are times someone had asked me, because I'm going to be on the cover of a magazine coming up here, and I can't disclose it just yet, my first cover issue. But it as a question, it you know, the person had asked me, you know, my thoughts about doing this in general. And I think you can maybe share a little bit on that too. It's like, be careful what you wish for, because I can't shut it off now that it's turned on. And that's what I was asking you earlier about, whether you've had any extraterrestrial stuff happening yet, because now my paranormal and my extraterrestrial are muddling together, and I'm not exactly sure what it is. And now I'm questioning if I haven't had some of this a little bit more than that. And when you talk about the non-entity thing, are we talking demon here, or are we talking something up that, yeah, is really out of this world that is not necessarily a good presence in our world? What are your thoughts about that?
That's still a theory out there that still gets me. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I wouldn't want to dig deep into it, because aliens scare the hell out of me. They scare the hell out of me. I mean, and but I mean, it could be. There's so many theories out there that, you know, Bigfoot and go, you know, spirits, that they're extraterrestrials. So I don't know.
It's hard to say. And in the area that you live in, before and where you live in now and all that, that area is known to be really, really active with historical types of energies and trauma and death and the whole 10 yards. So a lot of that imprints onto the land. And even that hospital you're talking about, even though that hospital has been taken down, I believe, from what I understand, there's still imprints that can still be there. And if whether they construct something on top of it, or whether they do, I don't know. Is it empty, or have they reconstructed something on top of that area? Do you know?
It's still empty. It's still, they were talking about putting an apartment complex there. you might, I mean, you, if you put something there, put a basketball court or something. Don't put any of that there.
Yeah. And good luck if you're on the basketball court, because someone's going to all of a sudden get the attachment and then start walling at somebody for whatever. Yeah, it's a really interesting field. So David, as we kind of go into and this was a really fast interview today, but a really, what would you like people to know about you and where they can find you and anything like that? What would you like to say?
Well, you can look me up on Facebook, you know, David Childers, put in David Childers Ghost Hunter, look for the ball guy. No, I mean, and then It's Haunted Network. Me and Chris Sanders, we both are founders of It's Haunted Network. Got some cool shows on there as well, talking about the paranormal field. That's really about it, you know. I got some events coming up soon with other, you know, paranormal investigators in the field. Also, Sleepy Hollow Paracon is coming up for 2023. Get a hold of Chris Sanders. He has it all out, you know, the way he's got that taken care of. That's about it, except, I mean, we got a documentary at Wilson Castle coming up, other events, America's Stonehenge with Connie Koenig. A lot of stuff. Just go to my page and It's on
its work. Yeah, I was going to say, and keep track, because, because you are involved in quite a number of things, and then plus you make your appearances on a variety of shows, you know, from time to time when they want to seek you out, and you're strong enough to go and do these things. You know, I talk about a brave soul, especially with some of these darker type of entities. You're a brave soul, because I'll tell you, I pick and choose my moments as best as I can. And once I start feeling anything dark, around me or whatever, my internal, I don't know if yours does this, but my internal body just goes whoosh. And then it's kind of like, get out. And I'm like, fine, I'll listen to you this time. I will get out. So I don't know. It's interesting. So, well, thank you, David, for being on the show today. I hope that everybody here has learned a little bit more about what it's like to be in this field. And David, you're just the ticket that we needed. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.